And welcome back, folks, to the next episode of Building the Board, brought to you by Bears on Tap and On Tap Sportsnet. We're here to talk linebackers today. Got Robert Schmitz here with me. How you doing today, Robert?
Man, I'm stoked. Linebacker is a wild position. You and I did tight ends on this project last year, and linebacker is the exact inverse, right? It's an impossible role. It's a role that makes a huge impact on a big or on good defenses. And you saw that last year and what the Bears did with Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards. And yet it is such a funky position to scout because all kinds of teams use all kinds of linebackers in all kinds of different ways. This should be a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, it really is. And like one of the things that I really liked about this project last year was how much I learned about tight end, right? And like I feel like that's where I'm at with linebackers now. I can't, like last year I put off looking at any linebackers until last minute. It was just like, okay, I need to look at some linebackers. And it was like, I don't know what I'm looking at. And this year it's kind of forced me to be like, okay, go watch some YouTube videos, see how, you know, previous drafts, what they were talking about, what they were ranking on, and watch maybe a coaching clinic about linebackers and trying to learn the position better. And that's where we're at.
It's so much fun. You ready?
Yeah. So first thing we want to do is talk about what do the Chicago Bears currently have at linebacker? And so I pulled up, you know, overthecap.com and went to go look at all their salaries. You know, Tremaine Edmonds, $22 million cap hit next year. TJ and 3 years remaining on his contract. TJ Edwards, 2 years left, $7.5 million cap hit. So in most NFL defenses, you're playing mostly two linebacker, right? And that's,
yeah,
you got your two guys right there. And then behind them, last year you used a draft pick on Noah Sewell, making almost $1 million on cap hit this year, 3 years left on his contract. Jack Sanborn, 1 year left, almost $1 million. Again, two guys that you probably feel like might be able to start for you. And then you got Mika Baskerville too on a 1 year deal. So what do you think the need is here, Robert?
All right, Q, let's be just so real about this, right? There isn't one. If there's any position that the Bears have nearly no need at, it's linebacker. I mean, we could go through the entire rest of the roster. You could say that they're pretty good at corner, but you can never have too many good DBs. You could say that they were pretty strong, say, at running back. But, well, if they could get a top running back, they might not pass up on the chance, right?
Right.
And then nearly every other position, like, say, tackle, for instance. I think they're great at tackle, but you could always add more top-end talent. But truly, here at linebacker, I mean, not only do you have TJ Edwards, who played last year like one of the best linebackers in football, you also have Tremaine Edmonds, who, let's be real, Q, you're just not going to not play him. There's no world with how much he's being paid, especially given that his salary is guaranteed for next year, and it's more or less guaranteed for the year after that, because about $9 million of it will become guaranteed over the course of the 2020
season. Oh, does it have one of those, like, delay years and guarantees?
Yes.
I didn't realize
that. It's got a late trigger. And so unless the Bears are eating dead cap now, spoiler alert, they're not. Then you've got your starting two linebackers. You've got one of, I think, the more fun linebackers in football. That's Jack Sanborn, who fits the mold of TJ Edwards spookily, because what is it? They're both UDFA linebackers out of Wisconsin, primarily
from Chicago.
Like from Chicago, primarily instinct backers. Like the one-to-one there is hilarious. And then I like, this may be blasphemous, I like Baskerville a little more than I like Sewell. But that's not me coming after Sewell. It's more that I think in this league, if you can't cover, you are open space for a good quarterback to exploit. And at least so far, we haven't really seen Sewell thrive in a coverage role, though he's such a naturally heavy person. Maybe they want him to be a thumper. If the Bears pick a linebacker, I have to imagine, Q, they're looking for a teamer. But maybe they see the opportunity to upgrade one of these positions or add spectacular depth in the third or fourth round if the right guy falls to him. I mean, let's be real here. This is also their coach's favorite position. So all bets are off when it comes to where they draft who.
I imagine that Matt Eberflus is like, so if I sit down and start watching Bucky Irving, is that the Oregon running back?
Yes.
Bucky Irving tape my eyes are going to drift to Jackson Powers Johnson. It's just the way it is.
That's who you are.
Yeah. And I imagine for Matt Eberflus, if he sits down to watch defensive tackles or safeties, his eyes are just always drifting to linebackers.
Everybody's got a favorite, man. I'll never not end up watching quarterbacks and wide receivers, but that's part of why you see me on DBs this year is because I spend so much time watching the wide receiver. Okay, so a joke I always tell my brother, that because both of us are big sports nerds, is behind every great hockey goal is a missed opportunity for a save. Right. And in that same way, having to define what is good wide receiver play and what's poor DB play is something that I know I'm a huge fan of. But when it comes to linebacker, man, that's one of, I think, the most interesting parts about all this discussion. It is hard in the league to find good linebacker play. And kudos to Matt Eberflus. You and I were talking about this in Mobile, where there are a lot of defenses that have all but forsaken their linebackers, where if they don't have a Fred Warner, they're just going to take two guys and they're going to try to hide them. I'm looking at you, Atlanta, right? I'm looking at you, Sean McDermott in Buffalo. And
Philadelphia is a great example for a decade now.
Mm-hmm. McDermott has run a defense that uses its safeties to flex. And then you look at Eberflus, and I do want to tip my hat to the guy, because he's gotten way more out of the position of linebacker than I thought you could do in the NFL, especially with two linebackers that other teams let walk. Say what you will about TJ Edwards' PFF grade in 2022, or the fact that Tremaine Edmonds would have probably been kept on had the Buffalo had the salary cap. They still made it to free agency. So kudos to Eberflus for showing that there's another way to do it. And I think that's part of what makes this discussion so fun.
And I think that's a really good segue into the next question that we have before we dive into draft prospects of what are you looking for in linebackers for Matt Eberflus's system?
So for me, at least, Matt Eberflus always wants his linebackers to be able to fit the run. So you have to start there. But he's also going to ask his linebackers to play very key roles in coverage. Not that they're going to do anything other than defending space, but they have to be able to play eyes to the quarterback. It is what it sounds like, Bears fan. It is staring at the quarterback and moving as he moves. When the quarterback's eyes go left, you shuffle left. When the quarterback's eyes go right, you shuffle right. You keep your eyes in front of you. Occasionally, you're going to peek to your left or your right to get a sense for what the formation's route concepts are resolving into. But the goal is to have these seeing eye moments that we saw Roquan Smith do with Fangio, but we especially saw TJ Edwards, I thought, did a lot of this last year, where he simply moves in front of the passing lane, but he doesn't even know if there's a receiver there. He just feels it, right? So if you can do that and you can fit the run, Matt Eberflus likes you. And apparently, according to Tremaine Edmonds, if you could take up coverage space and you could pursue laterally, you don't even have to fit the run. And Matt Eberflus may like you anyways. But linebacker's so tough because there's just not that many guys that do it all.
Yeah, no, I think I was along a very similar thought process in it. Like, if I was watching a linebacker and I felt like they couldn't get downhill against the run or be able to stack and shed, like, and by that, for anyone who might not be familiar with it, get your arms into the blocker in front of you and be able to get them off you, move them to the side, and you keep going. Like, that is a big thing within what Matt Eberflus wants to do. That combined with, I called it zone instincts, but very similar to what you described of like being able to understand the passing lanes, kind of find your way to get in the way of something that might be behind you, I think is a big deal. And we had a friend in the chat, Bearlissimo, good to see you. He has an unpopular opinion here that Sanborn might be our best zone linebacker.
He's right up there, man. I mean, I think Edwards had a better season last year, but Sanborn, when he got the chance to play, played so well. And I think a lot of that, BL, is partially because Sanborn subbed in at the mic position. And the mic position in this Eberflus defense gets a lot of action. And I'll always wonder what they're saying in the coaching room when they're talking about a guy like Tremaine Edmonds, because you put Sanborn in there and suddenly he's fitting the run, he's crashing downhill, he's still handling his pull runner duties way better than you'd expect of a UDFA. And Q, I have no idea what they want. I mean, again, you can't sit the $18 million guy, but part of me always looks at that kind of tape and goes, okay, what did we want out of Tremaine? Because if we planned this whole defense around him coming downhill and fitting run gaps and stacking and shedding. Did you watch enough tape for that? But I'm a guy on the internet, so I always assume they at least think they know more. So I would have loved to hear their reasoning if we ever got it.
Yeah, agreed. So we'll go ahead and jump into a few prospects now, and we'll kick this thing off with Junior Colson out of Michigan. Robert, what did you think you saw on tape with him?
Well, so Colson is one of the many really highly rated guys that we're going to talk about. It's funny, right? You talk DBs, you talk safeties, you're dealing with three stars, and then every once in a while you get a four star. And linebackers, it's like a steady diet of four stars and the occasional five stars. Like, this is a position that obviously gets really highly recruited. But it's funny watching a guy like Colson, because at 247, 6'3", he's a much bigger linebacker than a lot of the guys that you watch. He's got fast feet in terms of how quick his foot frequency is, but I feel like his lateral movement leaves more to be desired than I wanted there to be, at the very least. Like, when in a league that's getting further and further outside and you need to be able to chase down from the backside of the play, I just got the impression that Colson gets left hanging up by the runner a few too many times. But what do you think?
So I thought he was really fun to watch. I mean, I saw a really smooth athlete. I thought really fluid hips and coverage. Like, I mean, let me stick with that coverage for a minute, because
yes,
the coverage instincts, like I said earlier, that ability to just kind of almost have eyes in the back of your head and know where the routes are. I ultimately think that comes down to film study more than anything. Film study and being able to take what you see on film and put it on the field. I really felt like that was something he excelled at. His ability to get in the way of routes, get off of checks or hit his checks, get one read to the next, hit, you know, the in route, and then on the way as he's passing him off, getting down to the flat for the running back. Like, it was all just very smooth, felt very easy. Now, I thought he needs to bring a lot more pop to blockers when they come up on him. His hands were just kind of not there. He relied on his athleticism too much in that aspect, I think. And I just ultimately, I saw a lack of a downhill trigger against the run, and that might be a little bit of what you're getting at. I thought that there was no killer instinct there of, like, not even just the run, of route stems, in breaking routes, stoppers. I thought that he really was a little slow to hit the gas on those.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's a tough position, like you're talking about, and some of these guys see it. And especially when we're talking about somebody who's 21, I just felt like you can see a natural experience difference between somebody like Colson and somebody like Peyton Wilson. This is not a bad thing, right? You can just feel the difference between age. And I know I'm always having to adjust, right? Yeah. Our comment section mentions that he plays bigger than he is. I thought the same thing. I mean, he certainly works hard, right? Really high motor guy. It's more that I know that there are some of these players, just talking out loud, that on outside stretch runs where the linebacker has to pursue the back, like from the backside of the play. Maybe this is just me, but it always bugs me when I envision the linebacker not being able to reach the play at all. And then yes, you lose a defender that might be able to help control the chaos of what that run is. And that can become a backside cut that becomes an explosive play, but every evaluator is going to have their ticks. I will warn everybody, I am really hard on linebackers. Like, I think linebacker is a really hard position. And if you stand up to it at all, you're a guy. And yeah, Colson is one of those players that makes plenty of plays. Like, the worst thing I think a linebacker can be is the same thing that a bad safety is, Q. And that's not there, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the players that just don't get into the play at all, whether they're a little too hesitant, whether they're a little too fleet or like slow of foot. But as long as the play is within the numbers, Colson will make an impact. I thought you can tell Jesse Minter coaches his guys really well. And I mean, I'll tell you what, Q, just an aside, whether you're talking about AJ Barner, whether you're talking about Roman Wilson, whether you're talking about Junior Colson, this Michigan staff did a great job with a lot of these players. Like, you start to get a feel, don't you? I know you've got a Penn State take you want to share, but you start to get a feel for which teams have their guys at the top of their game and which teams you're like, please, please come play for me. I will coach you better than they did. You know what I mean?
I feel like my YouTube channel is slowly turning into a Michigan Wolverines channel because half my draft profiles I've put out are Michigan players. And quick mention for Bellissimo. First he asked, where did I get Colson at 243? The scouting report over at ontapsportsnet.com put out today. Had him at 243. That was just based on his listed number at Michigan. And Bellissimo say he came in around 220. That makes a lot of sense to me because I was looking at him as like, is this guy really 240? Because in my draft profile, I'm like, if he's 240, I feel really good about just being able to teach this guy how to stack and shed better, basically coaching him up to play to his weight. But I wasn't sure that he was at that weight. So 220 does make a lot of sense there.
He didn't look slow, right? Like when I watched him, he didn't, especially because, again, it's that foot frequency, right? How quickly are you able to change direction? How many steps do you get in when you're working laterally compared to somebody else? And in his case, I mean, there are some times where I think he'd be better served to just turn and run. But this is linebacker. This is a position that is victimized by nearly every concept in football. So you almost have to allot a certain amount of you got gots to every one of these players.
I'm watching the tape. If you bite on the play fake and the guy flies open behind you, you're getting a negative. If you're too slow with your feet on the run play because you bit on the play fake last time, you're getting a negative. Like, you're screwed if you do, you're screwed if you don't at linebacker. It kind of it sucks.
It's part of why. Who do you want to transition to next? Or are we done with Colson, or do we want to transition?
Yeah, we can transition over to Edgerrin Cooper.
Thank you. A&M. I was hoping you would say this because Edgerrin Cooper is a huge dude who probably plays a little too high, but I'll tell you what he has, Q, and that is great burst and great straight line speed. Like, when he sees what he wants, he gets off like a missile. And there's this part of me as a defensive, like when I'm thinking defensively, Q, that thinks if you have a blade that I can use, then we can cut the offense somehow. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll get beat here. Maybe we'll get beat there. But eventually the offense is going to end up in a second 11 because 45 here on Texas A&M just ripped down the pipe and smoked you. Like, that's what I see. What about you?
Man, first things I wrote down in my notes: physical, confident, and loves ball. Mm-hmm. Like that, this dude just flies, man. He has never second guessed a thing in his life. It's beautiful to see. Like, I'm sure it will bite him at times, but more often than not, it seems like it worked out for him so far. Just quick trigger, brings a lot of power to the point of attack, and just flies. Like I said, I haven't actually been able to get my hands on much tape for him, so most of what I've seen is just, you know, piecemeal. But I told someone on Twitter earlier that I'm anxiously awaiting the chance to get his all 22 just because I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch,
right? And the little that I've seen, because like you're talking about, a lot of these guys have just drank down a broadcast copy or two, but I feel like Cooper, he does a good job of taking up a ton of space in zone coverage. I don't know how well he's feeling routes behind him. He's 22. He doesn't have to have it all figured out, right?
Right.
But for a big body player, because he's 6'3", and he looks like he's got pretty long arms. I mean, we'll see what comes into the combine, but he looks like a presence, and he uses that presence to just squeeze some of these angles in zone coverage. And at least in the game that I watched against Auburn, he was able to really affect the Auburn quarterback by just forcing the throw a little wider, right? Forcing that, or trying to get that seam a little bit higher, and creating incompletions by being in the right spot. He looks like a guy that's got well-coached landmarks and knows where he's trying to go. And there are some guys on the list that we have today to talk about, they don't. So you got to tip your cap when you see that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's honestly really good to hear on him, because most of what I saw was either blitzing or run defense. I didn't see any coverage reps, which was made it hard for me to get a full picture, right? It felt like I knew this guy was an athlete. He was physical. You could tell his energy meant something to that Texas A&M defense out there, but I couldn't tell if he knew his landmarks. I couldn't tell if he had any feel in zone coverage, how he handled man against a running back or a tight end. Like, all that was still kind of a mystery to me.
I should actually clarify, because you mentioned that they pull him off the field on passing downs. So okay. When I say he knows his landmarks, I mean for a person that's only covering so well. But okay. Honestly, there are some of these players, it's kind of like running back passing or running back pass blocking, right, Q? Where it's like, mm-hmm. You have to be able to at least get into the right spot on a zone play, or like on a zone play call, and take up some space if I'm going to use you as a Sam backer. And in Cooper's case, I thought he could at least, I thought he served that purpose well. Maybe if I watch 3 or 4 more games, he'll look a little bit different. But in a wide world of analysts like us, time is limited. Mm-hmm. You got to take what you can get. And like you're talking about, that ability to line up on the edge and fly downhill, line up over the top and fly downhill. Like, he does a great job of just playing fast and firing off the ball. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. And Bearlissimo, I might take you up on that edger in all 22 versus Bama, because that would be right up my alley and exactly what I need. Moving on, we can jump on over to Marist Leofau. I'm not sure if that's right. I'm not sure if that's even a good guess how to say it, but I'm going with it. Out of Notre Dame. And this is probably a bit more where I think we're getting into more possibility for the Bears, because I think Colson, you're probably looking at a day two pick. Edgerrin Cooper, probably looking at a day two pick. But with Marist here out of Notre Dame, not going to attempt the last name a second time without getting the phonetic spelling. But I think that's where you start to get maybe this guy's available day three. But what did you think about his tape, Robert?
So instincts, I think, are so important in a linebacker. And when I watched Marist Leofau, is at least what it sees.
Marist Leofau.
I'll take it. Leofau. That works for me. But he moves really well, and he moves decisively. I mean, I remember when I watched the Ohio State game is one that I just recently watched. But I thought the same thing when I broke open the All-22 for USC's game against Notre Dame. This Notre Dame defense can play at all levels. Again, this is one of those where it's like massive kudos to the defensive coordinator and all the position coaches under it's Coach Freeman, right? Because what he's building there is obviously working. And to me, those are the linebackers where you can find a diamond in the rough, because while he's not the behemoth athlete that some of these other linebackers can be, it's the same conversation as safety, right? Where if you're in the right spot, doesn't matter if you're a little undersized or you run a slightly slower 40 than some of your other compatriots. And in Leofau's cases, again, I care more about whether you can steal some downs back rather than you can be almost there on most plays. And I think this guy rules. What do you think?
Yeah, I thought he was a good watch. I mean, the first thing that stuck out to me was that he's a little bit lighter of a guy.
Oh yeah,
he's listed at 239. I don't think that's completely accurate, but I thought he used his hands really well, taking on blocks and really getting his hands in there and extended to stack the blockers was something that I thought he did really nice. I thought his feet were really patient in zone coverage too, which is something like, it's another one of those catch 22s. Like, it's good until it's not good, but most of the time it seemed like he was doing well enough in zone. Like I have written down here, his coverage instincts were not a negative. I didn't think they were a positive, but they weren't a negative, which is, like you said, you can work with that, right? You can steal some of those downs back. And I really liked his lateral movement, his ability to hop around running lanes and hop around gaps as a blitzer. And it just seemed like it's almost kind of funny. I felt like when he was near the line of scrimmage, he was like, play like your hair's on fire kind of guy. But when he was in a zone, it was much more patient and calm, which I thought there's something to be said there of he knows how to gauge himself up and down depending on the situation.
Right. I feel like for most of these linebackers, you got three major roles, right? Take on blocks at the point of attack, cover people deep or even shallow downfield, and then pursue laterally. And if you can do two of those, then you can get another linebacker that does the third one that complements you, right? And to me, when I look at him being relatively light, that doesn't bother me, if only because I think he plays in coverage well and pursues laterally well. This is your, call it budget Tremaine Edmonds role, right? The role you're expecting to see, or the role you're expecting to see somebody like Tremaine Edmonds play, I think he might be able to play for you. And that ferocity that you're talking about that he brings on a play-to-play basis means that he might just win a rep or steal a rep that physically he maybe you wouldn't expect him to win.
Yeah.
Because it's not like he gets destroyed in the running game. And moreover, Q, the other magical part about talking about linebacker is that when a linebacker is taking on an offensive lineman, not many guys win. And so there's a lot of this where if you can draw a one-on-one from a run blocking perspective, okay, at least you took a blocker out of the fit, but you have to win your blocks eventually. Don't get me wrong. I just like watching him in coverage. To me, he looks not just instinctive, but calm. There are a lot of linebackers that I feel like when I watch them in zone, they don't really know what they're doing. Whereas
deer in the headlights.
Exactly. He looks like his movement is simultaneously reading the formation, reading where the routes are developing towards, and feeling the quarterback and where he's trying to target to create that extra pressure that I think you need. Because there's nothing that I love more than when you can tell a quarterback says on tape, he's not supposed to be there. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, then I guess I'm going to this read. That's my favorite.
Yeah, and I think Berlissimo made a good point here in the comments about, says he likes how he keeps his hips parallel on scrapes, but I think the bigger thing is that he mentions, it shows that he applies coaching. And I think that that's something you can actually see pretty well in linebacker tape, how a guy takes coaching and puts it out on the field. And don't worry, Berlissimo, Eichenberg's coming up. We have him a little later on, but we're going to get to him because he was an interesting one. Next up, though, we're getting to Jeremiah Trotter Jr., who was NFL bloodlines, obviously, for anyone who's watched the NFL for my lifetime, I guess, because I hear Jeremiah Trotter, my brain goes one place. But this guy was looked at as like maybe a first round pick coming into the college season. He's a multi-time All-American. And I think, Robert, both you and I kind of are a little, our viewpoint of him was a little different than that, but what did you see on tape?
Well, you see a guy. So I read up on him first, right? He's 21 years old, listed at 229. Okay. Little on the lighter side, 6 foot. Okay. A little on the shorter side, wearing 54. Okay. That's an important number.
Yeah.
Right.
It stands out like in big red numbers, like, oh, this guy's wearing 54. I'm feeling it.
And it was so funny to me, at least, because I'm watching him against, it's the North Carolina game that really stuck out to me, where sometimes I couldn't tell what he was supposed to be doing. Because if it was playing quarterback spy, I don't think he ever stopped Drake May. It sounded like the caller, the announcer, can't remember, I think it was Riddick, thought he was playing quarterback spy. And if that's the case, he couldn't catch May at all. Felt like, to me, he was hesitant when he did try to explode. I didn't think he had the gas of nearly any other linebacker that you had me watch
in that game, where it was like there were weird points where it's like, well, he looked like he was a spy or maybe covering the running back, but now he's just kind of jogging towards the pocket, and I don't really know what he's trying to achieve here.
Yep. And to me, there were just too many moments where the defense ended up having to defend with 10, and that bugs me. Right. It's one game and I get it. It's a game they won, as a matter of fact. But I felt like I was watching Trotter in particular try to find ways to be useful rather than knowing his role and executing something. Maybe there's something to be said for Clemson's coaching within that. But there's another guy later in the show that we're going to talk about that I think looks more like the pure athlete that has no idea what he's doing out there. And this wasn't that. This looked to me like just a player that I couldn't find much that was really interesting, but that was just me.
Yeah. And shout out to our guy, Ron, fact that Trotter's kid is getting drafted makes him feel old. I agree with that. I do get it. And Berlissimo here made a comment that it's hard to read the Clemson backers because of their scheme. I do think that that did play into it some, because like we were just saying, it was hard to tell what his intentions were on some of this stuff, which makes it hard to grade from a draft analyst standpoint. But ultimately, when I was watching it, I was impressed with his balance, how he's able to play through contact, how he's able to keep his feet under him and keep driving towards what he's trying to do. And I did think he knew his coverage landmarks well. I'm not so sure that he had the, like we were talking about with Colson, the eyes in the back of the head where he's like, he can just feel the pressure from a receiver behind him and just kind of floats into the right areas. I thought he was a bit more robotic in his zones. He knew his landmarks, but it almost felt like a Madden player at times where he's just dropping in the middle of the zone and sitting there. Right. And I thought he had a really nice feel for navigating traffic against the run. And I did think he's listed at 230, but he's 6 foot 230. Like, he's a stout 230. I thought he did a pretty good job taking on blockers as well. But
now, are you saying he did a good job taking on blockers in an absolute sense, or a pretty good job taking on blockers for a person who's 6 foot at 230?
For a linebacker. For a linebacker, I felt like. Not for, like, I don't, you know, I'll be honest. I thought he was going to be 240 plus. I didn't look at his weight before watching the tape, and I thought that this guy played heavier than he is.
He felt heavy to me. Like, in terms of his play style, he felt like a little bit of a thumper that doesn't move as well as some of the other backers that we've seen. But that's at least just my two cents on the player, right?
Well, the biggest takeaway I had from his tape was I'm concerned about his acceleration, his explosiveness, that there were times where it felt like he was hesitant on tape, and I can't blame him because it feels like he doesn't have the acceleration to make up for a misstep. So he's just kind of, he needs to be perfect a lot of the time.
Right. And if anything, I wouldn't be surprised if that's part of why he plays as hesitant as he does, because he can't be wrong. Right. And who knows? I mean, anticipation is a heck of a thing. Like, you see this with DBs, you see this with, I mean, even corners in plenty of cases, and definitely with linebackers, where some guys, they see the snap, they recognize what it is on film, it comes to them very quickly, they quickly start flowing towards the direction that they need to be. Plus, they understand their coaching. I mean, we saw this with TJ Edwards just very recently, where it took him a good 3-4 games to really get a sense for what his new roles were compared to what they were in Philly, and suddenly locked in around week 5, week 6, week 7, right? And so it's all a blend. Like, what the anticipation and the reaction speed that we see is a blend of a million different factors. But at least in the game that I watched, which I would be lying to you, Q, if I said that I had this massive scouting report prepared. And the hope is that as I go through and watch more, we'll get there, right? But I didn't come away with as impressed with him as I think I wanted to.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I was telling you pre-show, my eyes were drifting to his teammate next to him, Barrett Carter, I think it was. And I thought he was coming out in the draft, and I was all excited about him until I realized 3 games later that Barrett Carter was not coming out in the draft. But yeah, I felt fairly similarly of, like, I thought I was going to see something more there. And I was surprised because I thought he was supposed to be, you know, the top linebacker in this class. I didn't come away feeling that way in his tape, which maybe there's scheme stuff to that. We'll find out once he hits the NFL level. Mm-hmm. But next guy we got here is one of the most fun watches, I thought. Peyton Wilson out of NC State. Robert, what did you see in him?
So granted, there's plenty of things that we could talk about in the world of what could be better, right? But he flies around. I mean, this is a chaos creator, and he's a little older. You would expect him to be this good, but he was. And I mean, do you want me to start with red flags or the things that he does well, right? Because he pursues laterally. He's a force when he's taking on tight ends or lower. Sometimes he is really strong in coverage. I thought his coverage stuff pops off the tape, but at least what I saw Q in his game against, gosh, I couldn't tell you who I saw him play. Oh, it was Notre Dame. I thought he had real trouble battling with bigger guys. They had a wide tight end, number 19, that blew him out of the gap a couple times. Lineman obviously just washed him out. But as a, he even played a little bit of edge and had a couple of pass rush reps that were medium fun. Like, Wilson was a lot of fun. I think I can I can easily see why you won the Buckus Award, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
There's just, at the NFL level, going to be things that he can't do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I mean, I want to say he was at the Senior Bowl, and I did talk to him a little bit. And this dude is every bit of 6'4". He is a tall dude out there.
Big dude. Big dude, and long, too.
Long,
you can feel him use that length.
His brother plays in the MLB, I believe. And that's cool. He has a relationship with Luke Kuechly somehow as well. Like, where he talks with Luke Kuechly about football, which is, you know, can't hurt anything.
Good guy to know.
Yeah. The linebacker, absolutely. I came away from his tape saying this is a versatile defender, springy athlete. I mean, he's just bouncing around all over the field. I actually thought he was tough to read in coverage because maybe it was just the game I watched. He blitzed half the game.
Oh, yeah.
He was playing off the edge. He was blitzing from depth. He was blitzing from the middle of the line of scrimmage. Because
he's got juice. I mean, he's a football player. I mean, even in – I talk about him like being not being a thumper at the point of attack, but he uses his length really well to disengage from blockers as best he can. It's more the idea of if you run at him, you're probably going to be more successful than when you run away from him because he'll chase you down. Like, he'll come after you without any hesitation. Not to mention, he's got a wildly high motor. Like, of the guys that we've talked about, he's one of the rare guys that will just chase you down from halfway across field if he thinks he has to. And he has no issue with that. He's a fun football player to watch. And I hope we don't abuse this term, but he's got it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The biggest red flag cue. He's going to be 24 come draft time.
Yeah. So I think he's dealt with some injuries too, where it's like that, you know, his play style combined with having had injuries becomes a bit of a concern. I do think he is more of a day two guy in general, but maybe those injuries knock him down. I mean, I'm not even sure how he would fit in the Bears defense, but he's a guy I'd love to have on any football team. I don't know where he fits.
I think he'd probably be your Mike. If you were going to fit him into the Bears defense, it would be in the Tremaine Edmonds spot. But, I mean, the Bears have a lot of competition there. They keep bringing in all kinds of guys that can play pretty much that spot. And so it's another classic example, Q, of this is great content for not the Bears. And this is stuff that I'm sure Matt Eberflus is going to watch just because he wants to. But as far as the Bears actually drafting one of these guys, they'd have to fall pretty far. Like, you'd have to see a pretty heavy medical red flag for Peyton Wilson to get to the point where the Bears could draft him.
Yeah. And last note on Wilson, to barely smoke all of him a junkyard dog in the comments. I agree with that. I watching him, my final note on him, hyperactive, good, bad, I don't know, but he's a maniac. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just awesome football player to watch.
One of the notes that I have is that his jersey is always messed up. Like, whether he twisted it on a tackle, whether he threw himself at a blocker and ended up on the dirt. Like, there are some of these guys that they play front to back of the game. If you get what I mean, their jersey never gets muddy. It never gets pulled. It never gets out of order. And his is almost hard to read sometimes because it'll end up twisted sideways, pulled up a little bit, pulled back down. Like, he's just playing ball. And you love that in him.
Yeah, absolutely. Next guy, Barelissimo's guy, Tommy Eichenberg out of Ohio State. And I'll go ahead and jump in on this one first, since I've been putting the onus on you the whole time.
Thank you.
His brother plays O-line for Miami, Liam Eichenberg. He was out of Notre Dame, I believe. And really, I look at Liam Eichenberg, I see your old school downhill thumper. I mean, this guy likes to play football. He likes to get dirty. He can stack the blockers, and he's just a football player, man. I think he can use his hands a little better when he's taking on blockers. But generally, this guy, like, I said he's not afraid to get dirty. He's not afraid to get dirty. Like, he is going to go into a wrestling match with anyone who comes in front of him. And I thought that he did have a pretty decent radar in zone coverage. And like, he feels the game pretty well. And he just finds the football in running lanes, just finds a way to make plays. He's almost in that Jack Sanborn kind of category, I think, of like, he feels the game better than he's going to test the game. And yes, that's really what the kind of linebacker he is, right? And that's a guy who can fall in the draft, a guy who maybe the Bears do fall in love with in the fifth round. I don't even know where he's supposed to go. I think I have a fourth round grade on him here right now, but that type of stuff can change. And that's what I'm seeing on the tape.
So I'm right there with you. And it's funny because I've been trying to avoid talking about grades as much as possible because I don't have any feel for where the NFL has linebacker right now. What was it? Just last year, you had Jack Campbell get drafted in 18. And then I don't think we saw a linebacker get drafted until, was it the middle of the second round? Was it the high part of the second round? I mean, it's hard to read where the NFL wants to take these guys, but Eichenberg is my kind of guy. I mean, now I've had to, as we've had this podcast, I want you to know that I have muttered Tommy Eichenberg, Tommy Eichenberg, Tommy Eichenberg so many times because my brain keeps wanting to say Liam, just like you did. Yeah. But to me, my favorite part about somebody like Tommy Eichenberg here is that he sees where the play is going and he uses really, really great footwork. I mean, I don't know the classical term for this, but his foot frequency reminds me a lot of a safety where it's pop, 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 pop. Think of the quarterbacks that you've watched that they hitch really quickly, or the wide receivers you watch that take 1,000 steps before they make their cut, all in the proximity that it takes another wide receiver to take 10 steps. Eichenberg's doing that same thing, and it helps him get to where he needs to be very efficiently. And I am obsessed with that because football's a game, as you know, Q, where offenses are designing all these moving gaps constantly, and he's finding ways to flow into them. You called him a thumper, but I feel like he does a great job of making sure to chop, 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 chop his feet until bang, it's time to go. Send or like take off like a bomb and go make a play. I also think he covers really well. I mean, I don't think he's got the range that some of these other guys might. But that's the thing, Q. I'm tired of watching these linebackers where they might have a huge range compared to the linebackers where you know they'll deliver within their range, right? Because yeah, a linebacker that doesn't have feel for the game, until he develops it, he might as well not be there. Whereas somebody like Eichenberg, I think in coverage, he knows how to use his hands. His eyes are the real selling point for me. They remind me a lot of what we see from Sanborn, what we see from the other one, TJ Edwards,
yeah,
where they are constantly looking around, constantly checking and reading how these guys are moving. It's something that I've talked about a couple of these other linebackers that they try to do, but Eichenberg clearly has a feel that's advanced for his position. And this isn't a trait that the NFL in the past has valued. Maybe they will value it now. Who's to say? But it's a trait that I know I value. And if somehow he ended up at the point where the Bears could draft him in, say, the sixth, seventh round, I would disagree with the fact that the NFL let him get there, but I would happily take him. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, it's kind of like with Sanborn of like, he went undrafted. Some people had a fourth round grade on the guy and he went undrafted. So it's linebackers just in a weird spot with the NFL right now. I feel like a lot of evaluators don't know what they want in the position. You know, don't really understand it. And I think us included, it's a feeling out process. Like we're trying to feel it out right now. And our friend Scott from Iowa in the comments saying that the Lions were high on gummies during last year's draft, which I mean, at least it worked out for him. It's not the worst thing anyone's ever done when they're high on gummies. and then Barelismo asked about Smail Mondone. We have not gotten to him yet, but we will. Trust me.
That's good.
Next up here, we got out of Texas, Jalen Ford. And this is a guy who really wasn't a super highly rated recruit. But when I turn on his tape, I think it was a 3-star. But I turn on his tape and I see good physicality through him. A guy really explodes through the football and has enough strength to play through blockers, which if you can't tell by now, that's kind of a touching point for me on linebackers. You can't go around the blockers. You got to go through the blockers if you're going to be that big bodied linebacker, right? I mean, you can be the Roquan Smith who goes around and be really, really good at your job, but I don't think you're going to play in the Bears defense.
It's so funny to me, Q, as we talk about this, because you can hear where we're coming from as evaluators, where because I'm commonly back to front, like, not that I don't value offensive linemen. I love offensive and defensive linemen. But when we're talking about linebacker and when we're talking about tight end, right, like especially linebacker, I want you to be able to cover. And if you can't play in the run fit, then like if you can't play, that's an eliminator. But if you could just give me something in the run fit, thank God, because I really need you on passing downs. To me, Q, like I will allow you to attempt a 3rd and 4 where we're going to cover it well, as opposed to giving up 3rd and 10s throughout the course of games, which we've lived that life because we can't cover over the middle. That frustrates me. Right. And when you have linebackers that can cover, you squeeze offenses like the Lions that seemingly nobody else can. And it's so funny hearing you and me talk about this a little bit, because you want to see the guy that's kind of a sub defensive lineman. Right. And they can cover a little too. And I want a big safety for the most part.
Well, and to be fair with that too, like if Vic Fangio was our D coordinator, I'd be trying to see it differently, you know, but like as long as we are running the style of defense that I grew up watching Bears football with, that's what I'm looking for. You know, I'm looking for the Brian Urlacher who's going to go punch the center in the face on the way into the run lane. You know, that's what plays in this defense. But in Jalen Ford, I don't think you're getting the guy that you like. You're getting a guy who's pretty indecisive in coverage, pretty robotic in his zones, and a guy who plays better moving forwards than backwards.
I think so. And I mean, I'm not going to pretend this is one of the guys that I watched the least of, right? But what I have seen, I've got written down that he's a warrior in the run game. Yeah. Like even if he can't physically win the block, he is going to give you absolutely every bit of him. And he's pretty long too. For a guy his size, I'm curious to see how he'll test, because he looks pretty athletic personally. But what do you think? Tell me more about what you think about him.
Yeah, I mean, really. So I'm looking at him as one of the more realistic options for the Bears of like we're talking mid to late day three. We're talking about a developmental will linebacker who maybe can take over the job from TJ Edwards in a few years and contribute on special teams on the way. And I say will linebacker for a reason. I want this guy moving forward. I want him running into the line of scrimmage, running into run lanes, and just barely covering when he needs to cover.
He literally looks faster forward than backward. Yeah. Like I've got a real thing running right here. And it is so funny that when he gets his feet set, he can fly downhill. Like again, this is where, not to bring up a negative on a player, like I just watched him battle through an outside or an offensive lineman's outside shoulder, and I would have killed to see some of that on Trotter's tape. I mean, Trotter's a 4-star prospect, obviously has got the bloodlines thing, playing in a Clemson defense that played really well. That's the guy you're hoping to sit down and watch and go, yes, this is my guy. Right. The Jack Campbell experience, where you watch him and you go, this guy is an ode to linebackers. But instead, I feel like we've got a grab bag, and a grab bag is good. Right. But to me, this linebacker class, Q, if you're feeling what I'm feeling from the first impressions I have, this could be a linebacker class that shows us a lot about what the NFL thinks linebacker is anymore. Because you've got a bunch of very different guys that can play you very different roles, and how they're valued will show, it'll give us a window into the thinking of what they like, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree. You have such a diversity in this one. You know, you're not sitting with who was it? Devin White and Deion Bush at the top of the draft, who are two very similar type players. You're sitting here with very different type players, and I feel like we haven't seen a lot of that in recent years. It's been all very similar archetypes of players at the linebacker position. And this one, you're right. There's a lot of diversity within it.
He's got power in his arm tackle too, which is nice. Because at least what I've seen, there's too many linebackers. I mean, it's just a tough position. You're going to get juked. You are going to have to make at least some arm tackles. And if you can slow a guy down, that works out. But it's funny because you're going to see some misfires. Of course you can, right? And you're going to see, just like Barelissimo just says in the comments here, like he's exactly the kind of guy that's going to trigger the moment he thinks he needs to trigger. And he's going to like live and die off of that first step, that first read. So misdirection is going to hurt him badly, but that's just his game, right? He's going to play as fast as possible and he's going to come hell or high water, like deal with what happens.
Now, Robert, as Ron pointed out here, I think we got to be careful saying an ode to linebackers on a Chicago Bears stream.
What?
I mean, that gets people in trouble.
Why?
Why? Because they're going to fall in love.
I said Jack Campbell, to be clear, Ross, Ron.
We got the best trade capital in the world right now with number one. We are Bears fans.
Notorious TBG asked, where are we even talking about taking one fourth or fifth? To be honest with you, Notorious, I think you have to wait until day three. I believe, Q, I don't know how you feel, that once you get to day three, you're at the point where if you can get anybody that's going to play minutes for your team, you already succeeded. So at that stage, need kind of goes out the window. Yeah, you'd love to stock positions, but you can think positionally in the first two or the first one or yeah, the first two or three rounds. First two, definitely. Third one, probably. But as soon as you get to the fourth round, in my opinion, Q, you start to think about special teams. You start to think about who fell. You start to think about teamers. Like, this is also a funky draft because everybody keeps telling or everybody keeps saying the depth in this draft is worse than it has been. So guys that you and I think are sixth, seventh round grades might actually end up in the fifth if that's true. I haven't watched 175 players yet, so I don't have a ranking on where these guys will or won't end up, right? But
yeah,
it's, I think that a linebacker could happen anytime after the first pick of round four. But to be honest with you, Notorious, if I had to guess right now, my money would go on the Bears don't draft a linebacker more so than the opposite.
That would be where my head's at. I mean, I think fifth, sixth, seventh round, if a great talent who shouldn't be there staring you in the face, you might do it. Because I think at those final three rounds of the draft, like you said, you're just taking talent and hoping that something hits. But earlier than that, it's just tough to justify it.
Especially with the roster where it is right now. Yeah. But Ford's a fun one. I don't think he fits what the Bears need because they've got guys that can play downhill and they really need zone coverage guys. But he's fun. And then
next up here, we got Curtis Jacobs. And this guy was, I believe, a five-star. Coming to Penn State. And man, you said earlier that I had some takes on the Penn State players. And at this point, I've watched Chop Robinson. I've watched Olu Fashanu. I've watched Norzad, the center. And I've watched Curtis Jacobs. And with all four of those players, I'm sitting here just wondering, where is the development? And they have these incredible athletes out there, but I'm just starting to think there has to be draft value in Penn State players because all these guys are better athletes than their tape says. And all these guys are more talented than their tape says. And I can't help but think if you have faith in your coaching staff, you're sitting here saying we can get these guys up to snuff.
Yes. Yes. I mean, not to mention when you look at a guy like Curtis Jacobs, the role that he played in that Penn State defense, he played different defenses call it different things, but he played star as I've known it, but basically like a hybrid nickel corner and linebacker role. And for me, when I see linebackers playing star, because it's usually a safety role, I eat that up because like that means you can cover. And if you don't mind me going here, Q, Curtis Jacobs has one of the thickest gluteus maximuses that I have seen in football. Like some of it's the stance, but all of that explosion, you can see it on tape. I mean, he is flying around. The problem is he has no idea where he's flying around to. Mm-hmm. None. Looks like a freshman out there. So to me, this would be a player that would come down to interviews. But if I sat down and interviewed with him and I got him on the whiteboard and I could actually correct him a little bit and I saw him picking up those corrections, right, in initial meetings, he could have like a third round grade. But if he whiteboard tests as lost as he looks on film, he's gonna fall. But he'd be a crazy teamer. If that's what it came to, he'd be a crazy special teamer.
Yeah. And I mean, my note that I have bolded here for him is just brawler. This dude's physical. And he, like, I love that. And the fifth defensive lineman that I'm looking for, I want the brawler. Like, I'm interested that you said that I didn't even realize he was playing the star. I just knew he was lost.
Like, I just see him too many times. Like, I literally am trying to crunch as many games as possible so that I can be like a game and a half, at least for some of these guys. So, like, if you see me looking over at my other monitor, it's because I'm literally watching another game right now. And in this case, it's his game against Michigan, and Michigan is forcing Penn State into all kinds of these, like, 3-by-1 looks. And when they go 3-by-1, he kicks out and takes the number 3 receiver. And so that to me says that it's a star like role as opposed to a true linebacker. And again, I'm watched so much that I could be absolutely certain, but it's nice to see a linebacker that's not just in those, you know, standard like Mike's or what Mike Will roles, because I think you get some unique experience that lets you do some unique things. If he can play on the whiteboard.
Yeah. And one comment here, shout out for our guy, Ron Verlissimo, says Ron makes me feel it in my plums. So you got an admirer there, Ron. Last guy we got here. Who's
one more thing on Jacobs.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to talk physical traits. His length really sticks out too. He's long enough to win first contact against the majority of tight ends, running backs, wide receivers. Like, he's a tough guy to block. And so when you add that athleticism and that physicality, part of me thinks that he's going to go quite a bit higher than his natural tape grade should suggest he does. Because at least in my experience, Q, the NFL will throw out great tape from a guy like Tommy Eichenberg if he runs, what, a 4.7? Mm-hmm. Like, if Tommy tests, like, I won't be surprised if he does. He could end up a day 3 pick, which has I don't think he has any business being there. Like, I think he could easily be a compensatory third guy and give you all of that value back. Curtis Jacobs might run a, what do you think, 4.4? 4.5?
Yeah, like 4.5, I think I'd say.
Maybe that's crazy, but like he's gonna have good shuttle, he's gonna jump, he's gonna do all these things like on the testing field that's gonna make some linebackers coach. Would have been Matt Eberflus if he didn't already have his guys go, oh, I can coach him. Like, man, I can coach him.
I get the vibe looking at these prospects that Matt Eberflus is kind of like, what, we pay all that money? Like, like, there are so many guys that I feel like he would just fall in love with in this class.
I think he would tell you that about every linebacker class, though. I think he would tell you just, true. Oh, I just love him.
All right, last guy here, and he's a here we go.
I thought you had it.
Dallas Gant. Yeah, it was up. I think I messed something up there. But either way, and Barelissimo, yeah, I know it was just a play on Ron's words. I was just teasing you. Last guy here, Dallas Gant. So linebacker out of Toledo. Matt Eberflus is already sweating when he hears that. He's just in love. But yeah, breathing heavy. Ohio State transfer. And so I could only get my hands on 2022 tape from his Ohio State time on him. And he wasn't a starter at Ohio State. So it wasn't, it was one game where he got to play majority of the snaps due to injury or something. So you don't get the best feel from it, but this guy is long. man. His arms are going down to his knees almost. And he was playing almost more of an edge role. Like he basically saying the edge against the run on a lot of it from what I could see. So it wasn't exactly the tape that I'm looking for. But I got to get some Toledo tape to watch this guy because I know the Bears will watch him close. I'm not even sure where he's projected to go. I feel like I saw somewhere at, like he's looking at like a day two type number. But again, his tape is so sparse. I'm not sure that anyone knows where he's going to go other than just that he put up some nice stats at Toledo.
He's a big dude. He's lean. He's got really solid zone eyes, and it looks at least like they're asking him to do some decent things in coverage. It's funny. You mentioned the Toledo defense, and I'm like, Toledo, what did you do? Because we just got home from the Senior Bowl, and Quinyon Mitchell stood out over there. It's not all 22 tape, but Q, you can find some nice cut-ups of what I'm looking at the Illinois offensive line right now against the Toledo defense, and then the Buffalo offensive line played the Toledo defense as well. And linebackers, at the very least, are in the shot the overwhelming majority of the time. So at least you got something there, right? But right. Gant looks to me like he could be a really solid tester. And I mean, I think with linebackers, testing matters more than it should, just because the more often we keep seeing guys like Atlanta who the names escape me. I just know they're both UDFAs. And then you get guys like Sanborn that pop. You get guys like Terrell Bernard, Baylor Bear in Buffalo that even pop.
The weird thing with Atlanta, they spent a second round pick on a linebacker 2 years ago, I think, and the UDFA is starting over him.
Linebacker feels like a position that I can't tell if the NFL has basically issued their referendum or if they're going to keep scouting linebacker the way that they have in the past, right? But you get a lot more of draft picks that look like Noah Sewell, where they play a little behind the play in coverage, they get a little lost, but they were a five-star recruit. Mm-hmm. So, well, you got to draft him. Right. And Sewell in particular, outstanding thumper. Don't let me take anything away from him. When he gets the chance to fit the run, he is excellent. He just struggles to do two of the three things and is instead really good at one of the three things, which leaves two ways to beat you. Right. And so it's funny to me looking at somebody like Gant, because like we're kind of talking about Q, I could see a world where he becomes somebody's darling pick, just like we saw. Who's a kid out of Tulane whose name suddenly escapes me? You know who I'm talking about from last year?
Yeah, it was Dorian Williams.
Dorian Williams.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he got drafted pretty high too, didn't he? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because the NFL, I think, is starting to wonder if linebackers are basically bigger safeties. And Dorian Williams was that bigger safety type guy. And Gant looks to me much more like your old school linebacker. Like a lean version of your old school linebacker. So a much better Bears fit than a lot of those guys. But I have no idea where he'll go.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's up in the air. Like I said, we're both pretty limited on him. But holy Toledo, he went to Toledo. And Matt Eberflus played linebacker at Toledo. So you know he's going to get watched at least.
Oh, yeah.
And then we have a few other guys that we're not going to be able to talk about that much. Berlissimo has been yelling at us, get Smile Mondone on here. I actually thought that Smile Mondone didn't declare. I could be off on that. I'll have to check my list and see about that. But if he did, well, we're going to watch him. We're going to get Sky report written up, and we're going to do our best to evaluate him. A few other guys that I had my eyes on were Steel Chambers out of Ohio State, who I thought was really fun in coverage, really almost like you said, Robert, the bigger safety. Michael Barrett was an interesting watch out of Michigan playing next to Colson. I didn't think he was on Colson's level, but a very similar player and very gifted athlete. And then Edufon Ulofoshio. I had that perfectly sounded out in my head. And then as I start saying it, it's just like, oh no, you're losing it. You're losing it. Out of Washington. Really long rangy athlete. I think really raw. I think there's a lot for him to learn, but his length and his range was really interesting to me. And then Tyron Hopper was the one other guy who I have watched a little of. I didn't love what I saw there. Again, he's a lot smaller, though. He's a guy who I just have, like, blatantly here is not a Bears fit at 6'2", 220.
Right.
But he's probably a bit more like you're saying, Robert, the smaller safety type.
It's so funny you mentioned Hopper. He's one of the rare guys that I watched on accident, right? Because I watched Missouri play, I think it was Ohio State or something like that. And he fit the run like a maniac. Now, he gets really lost in coverage and misdirection messes him up. But he's one of those guys, okay, the old expression, right? You, when, like, if you're a hammer and you're given a nail, you will look great. It's when you have to be a multi-tool that you start to wean off a little bit. Also, wanted to throw you a bone. Ismael Mondon, according to a Sports Illustrated article dated December 15th, he declared that he would return to Georgia. Okay. Should have used not the word declare.
I knew he was on our – so for this whole project, we have this massive list of 300 names that is constantly getting guys added and taken off, and I thought I had to take him off because I knew I had him on there initially. And if I saw his name there while looking up linebackers, I was like, I would have went straight to him if he was still on there. So good to know I wasn't losing my mind.
A lot of really fun linebackers. I mean, it is, you know, I'm actually just saying what I mean instead of the nice thing, right? These guys are confusing to me. There's a lot of fun linebackers on here, but if you told me that the Bears had like a second or third round pick and they needed to get one of these guys, I could not look at this list and tell you which of them is going to be the star, especially because I think a lot of the more popular names that we're seeing, I'm less intrigued by than the guys a little further down the draft order. And that to me would scare me because Matt Eberflus would probably commit pretty intense draft capital if he didn't have his guy. I kept mocking Chad Muma to the Bears last year before they signed Tremaine Edmonds and also TJ Edwards for this exact reason. I'm really comfortable with the Bears linebacker room right now. I think it is maybe not ideal, but close to ideal as far as modern linebacker room construction, where you've got a day three pick, two UDFAs, and then two free agents, one of which is obviously a little more expensive than maybe you'd like him to be, but that's what it takes to sign a first round pick on the open market. So there's part of me in Q that's like, hey, I'm excited to get these evals done, sit back and learn both what the NFL thinks about linebacker and how they play going forward, because linebacker is a tough position to evaluate. A lot of the, I don't feel like we're seeing that guy. Do you have a that guy, right? Where you go, that guy is going to be a stud versus a role player.
I mean, so if like Edgerrin Cooper doesn't play passing downs that often, like you said, he would be that guy. Like the flashes from him are loud and often, but they're within a vacuum, right? They're within a vacuum of when he's on the field. I think Junior Colson probably has the chance to be the guy in this class for me. Just because I think that he does just enough against the run. And so I feel so good about his instincts in coverage that I feel like he's going to be a difference maker somewhere. And if Peyton Wilson stays healthy, I just think he's a maniac. But
and then on top of that, Q, like to build on what you're saying, I mean, Curtis Jacobs is the guy in fantasy that I know I shouldn't draft. And I draft him anyways, right? Like that receiver that you're like, he's not, this isn't going to work. And then you do it. And I know in my bones that a guy like Tommy Eichenberg, honestly, Jalen Ford, from what I've seen, might have a better chance at being successful than somebody like Jacobs. But there's that chance that Jacobs goes to the right team. He gets to be the 11th player on the defense and becomes a nightmare. Just because finding guys that are that athletic is hard to do, but there's so many red flags with a guy like him that where you have to draft him versus the role you'll ask him to play might end up out of balance with who he is and what he'll deliver to you quickly. But we'll see. It's a weird league where I don't think linebackers have as easy a time getting on the field and immediately playmaking as people want them to, because linebacker gets comped to running back so often in terms of value. But it's a position you need to grow into. Danny Trevathan crested at what? The 4, 5, 6 year mark? Like, the prime for a linebacker is literally like you exit your prime and leave the league. Like, there's almost no fall off. You know what I'm saying? Where it's like, the linebacker plays really, really well, and then it's over within a year and a half or so. There's no middle.
Yeah, it's the perfect bell chart, right? Right when you hit the peak, it starts going back down.
Right.
All right. Well, I think that's all we got for you guys tonight on linebackers. Make sure to tune in next week. We'll have two more positions for you guys. I think it might be offensive line, though. I think it might just be me and Steve powering through both offensive tackle and interior.
Like, you're not going to enjoy that. You're going to drink
I'll love it. But I think that's what it is. Don't hold me to it. But either way, we'll have two positions for you guys next week. Make sure to go check out our scouting reports over at ontapsportsnet.com. OnTap Sportsnet, we got Bears, we got Bulls, we got Blackhawks, we got Cubs, we got White Sox, we got Chicago Fire, we have gambling, we have college football, we have everything you need for Chicago sports and even more. So go check it out. Thank you guys for joining us and have a good night.